Well, I guess it's just that kind of day. That kind of service, amen? Amen. I didn't expect to be up here tonight anyway. Amen. One thing I was thinking, you know, there in the office, that we don't expect a lot of things, but we embrace the unexpected. Amen. I didn't expect to be a preacher. I mean, you tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. But here we are. Amen. Amen. Let me just get these batteries in here and we'll put this down. I won't sing any more. Thank you, musicians. Amen. God bless you. Okay.
It's on.
It's on now. All right. Are we on? How about that? Praise the Lord. Got some batteries to throw away. Amen. Well, God bless you tonight. Are you glad to be here? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer tonight. Father, we're grateful, Lord, to be your people, Lord, to be your children. Lord, to be able to gather tonight, Lord, under the banner of our Lord and Savior, the shed Lamb of God, whose blood was shed for our sins, for our sakes, for our good, Lord, for our righteousness, for our justification, for our redemption. Lord, we're thankful for that tonight. We just pray, Lord, that you would anoint your word, Father, as we read it, Father, as we look to you tonight. Again, we just lift up those that are sick that couldn't be with us tonight. Maybe those that are streaming in, Father, that you would grant them their portion, Lord, and that you would be with them, Father, and heal them, Father, for your glory. Lord, we love you. We appreciate you, Lord. And we're here to honor you, serve you, to receive your word, Father, whatever you have. We pray that you would speak to us tonight. We thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you tonight. As was said a little earlier, I guess Brother Baker's down sick with that little stomach thing that's been gone. Little stomach. I guess it is little. Little things can be big things, amen, but a stomach bug that's been going around, so amen. Well, but we're here tonight. We want to remember him and, of course, many that are sick in prayer. Well, you're still standing. Let's go ahead and read the Word of God tonight. And as you know, I was set. I wasn't really expecting to be here tonight, but we've got a lot of scriptures to read, and I believe that, and the prophet said that even if we just read the scripture, we'd be blessed. Amen. If we come together under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we worship, we create an atmosphere. We create an atmosphere of faith. Amen. And we read the Word of God, that would be a blessing. Amen. I trust that we'll have a little bit more than that tonight, but at the very minimum, we'll walk out of here blessed having read the Word. Amen. Amen. So we'd like to read in Galatians chapter 5. We have three little portions of scripture here to read as we kick off tonight. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, we'll read 16 through 18. It says this, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if you're struggling walking in the lust of the flesh, the antidote is to walk in the Spirit. Amen? If you walk in the Spirit, you shall not walk in the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Amen. And Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. For the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Amen. And then 1 John 2:27, the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. Amen. That's a mouthful right there. Amen. I think we lost it. Amen. Well, we'll go to the back of something going on with this. Amen. So I want to draw attention to this. So look at this scripture here that we just read in 1 John 2:27. The anointing which you have received of him. Now the anointing is the anointing of the Spirit, right? And that's what we want to speak about tonight, is the anointing of the Spirit on the Word, making it a living Word, becoming our head. Amen? That's a lot, right? The headship of Christ, the Word. The living Word. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the scripture tells us that as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons. Amen. They are the offspring of God. Amen. That's what that means. The ones that issued out of God. And they are led of the Spirit. This leadership of the Holy Spirit then is the identifier. Amen. How do you know a son of God? Well, they've got, you know, dark hair, or blue eyes, or green eyes, or whatever. No, it's no physical attribute. Amen. The identifying mark is the Holy Spirit leadership in their life. Amen. And that's an important distinction that I want to draw, because oftentimes we talk about it being the baptism of the Holy Spirit in someone's life, and we look at a sign, right? And the Pentecostals looked at something like speaking in tongues or an outward gift of the Holy Spirit. And they said, that's the mark, right? Or that's the proof, the evidence that they have the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit itself, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the new birth, we're told is the token. Amen? That is the seal of God. That is God coming and placing his seal on a believer and saying, I believe that you believe. Right? God accepting your testimony of faith. You make a testimony of faith and you say, I believe God. I receive what Christ did for me at Calvary. I accept it. Amen? I accept his free gift of salvation. And I believe it by faith that I am saved through grace. Amen? And then he comes back with the Holy Ghost and he puts a stamp, a mark on you and says, yes, your testimony has been received in heaven. Amen. That's what happened to Abraham. Amen. Amen. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, but God gave him the sign of circumcision, the seal, proving that God had accepted Abraham's faith. It was something that Abraham could point to and say, I know that God has received my faith and in heaven, it's settled because of the sign that God gave me. And that's what the Holy Ghost is to us. Amen. It's the seal, the sign that our faith has been accepted and that our judgment has already been passed. Oh, that's so wonderful. Because we know that our case has already been tried. Amen. We're not worried about our case going before the great judge anymore. We're not worried about our sins going before and being, they've already been judged. We've already been judged, been found not guilty. Amen. The judgment has passed. The statute of limitations is over and our case can't be retried again. Hallelujah. That's something to be glad about tonight. Amen. That's something to thank God for. Amen. Praise the Lord. And and to prove that, he gives us the token. Amen. That's the sign. Says, yep, your case has been tried. You've been found not guilty. Here's the token. Amen.
And that happens to the individual, and you know that, you know that, you know that, you know. But others looking at you don't see any change on the outside, right? But one of the characteristics of someone that has received that is that they will then begin to be led by that Spirit. Amen. They will come under the leadership of a different agency. Amen. They won't lead themselves any longer. Their life will no longer be led by their own desires, but instead it will be led by the Spirit. And the Spirit will always lead according to the Word. And so the revealed Word becomes our head. Headship. Amen? Not physically our head, of course, but as we look to our head of authority. Amen? Amen. So that's what we want to speak about tonight. So you can't live this Word without the Holy Ghost. Amen? Lots of people try. And the most frustrating or most frustrated people that you would ever meet is someone who's trying to live the Word without the Holy Ghost. Amen? They know what the Word says, and they know that they should be doing this or not doing that or whatever it is. They should be lining up with the Word, and they do their best, but eventually they will fail. Amen? You can't live the Word without the Holy Ghost. You can impersonate it, you can come close, you can look like a good Christian, but you can't do it. But you can and will with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will live the Word of God out in you. Amen? So if someone claims to be a child of God and they refuse the leadership of the Word in their life, you can quickly identify them as not having what they say they have. Amen? That's why Jesus says, by your fruits you'll know them. You'll know by how they're living their life, how their obedience to the Word of God, they're subjecting themselves to the Word of God. Amen? That's why, you know, so many times we find in our message, Brother Branham pointing to church members of the day, and that claimed, especially Pentecostals, that claimed to have the Holy Ghost, and saying, how can you claim to have it and you disobey the Word? Amen. You're living part of your life in direct conflict with the Word of God, and yet claim to have the Holy Ghost. Amen? Well, he had no trouble right away just saying, well, that's wrong. You don't have what you say you have. Now, as Brother Baker's been bringing out, you know, recently, in times past, the church could get away with it because the full Word wasn't restored. Amen. In Luther's day, they only had a very small portion of the Word, but they had to come under subjection to the part of the Word that was revealed for that day. They had to fall under that, just shall live by faith, and come out of that Catholic system. Amen? But that's how they were identified under the banner of the leadership of the Holy Spirit in that day. Because that was what the Word that was being revealed. So let's just read this. We've got, we're going to be mindful of our time here tonight, but I do have several things that I want to read to you, as I said. He says, this is from the Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He says, as the head was took from the grave, so must the body follow him back to Eden. Think about that. As the head was took from the grave, so must the body follow him back to Eden. What's the body? Who's he talking about? Where the head of the family, the man, the bridegroom, the bride being the body of the bridegroom, must follow. The bride, because that's the head. And the head is revealed, come back with eternal life, the body must follow that, because it is husband and wife again. And as long as you're pregnated with the same Word, which is his body, you took his body, you become in him. And when you took the Word, not a creed, but the Word, Wouldn't that make a text this afternoon to go on? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Therefore, the body cannot recognize, he says, don't fail this, the body cannot recognize any other headship but the Word. Because the head is connected to the body, and the head is the Word, and the same Word, it's the same Word, one headship. Therefore, denominations and holy fathers and everything else is dead dumb. There's one headship, that's Christ, and the body only recognizes one thing, and that's the Word. Amen. So, if you're part of that body, you'll recognize the Word. Amen? Very simple. So, Jesus spoke of the promised coming of the one who would lead us, the Holy Spirit, and he used terms like the Comforter, right? And the Spirit of Truth. When he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he will lead you into all truth, right? And I will send another one to you. I will send you a Comforter, right? These are descriptions that Jesus gave about his Spirit coming to lead the church and be the head of the body. Amen? But notice that none of these terms reflect an overbearing dictator, right? These are all very loving, graceful. He's a comforter. He's a guide. He's a help. Amen? He's going to lead you into all truth. He's a Spirit of Truth. He's not a spirit that's trying. He's not one that's trying to trick you, right? Or just kind of, you know, make it complicated so that you can't understand it. He's trying to lead you into truth. He's trying to comfort you. He's trying to help you. He's not trying to hurt you or, you know, keep you down under his thumb. He is the Spirit of Truth. When he is given, and this is the important part, when he is given permission to lead. Amen. Well, who gives the permission? You do. Amen. You give the permission for him to lead in your life. And if you do that, he will lead you into all truth. But only as you allow it. Amen. Because he's a gentleman. He's gentle. Amen. But that leadership and giving him that permission to assume that position, that is the great rest. Amen? That is a love affair. That is a love walk with Christ. There's no fear in that. There's no scariness in it. It's peace. It's stability. It's when you go out on your own that things get scary. Amen? But when you gladly hand over leadership to him, oh, then it's, man, glad I don't have to worry about that anymore. Amen? I know he's got it because I'm not holding on to that any longer. I'm not the one that's in charge. I'm letting him lead me. Amen? Hallelujah. Your permission is key to him being the leader. Hallelujah. To be the head, there has to be a willing body. Amen? So, that doesn't happen automatically. People think, well, you know, when I accept Christ, that just happens. No, that's something that you do. That is how you receive the Holy Ghost, is by submitting to him. That is how you walk after you receive the Holy Ghost. Things come in your life and you hand them over. Amen? You give him permission. You can stop him from moving in your life by not giving him permission. Not surrendering. Surrender of leadership is step by step, day by day, walk by walk. It's part of our daily experience with Christ. Is that right? Amen. That's how we go from glory to glory. It's surrender to surrender. Amen. You can say amen tonight. It's all right. Amen. Hallelujah. By our new birth, we are given a new life. Amen. And it changes our desires so that we want to surrender to Him. But we are also given power by the Spirit, the Bible says, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Amen? Both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Our will has to be lined up. So we know that these principles, these are things that we've talked about many times, and these are things that have been in operation in the church since the day of Pentecost, since the beginning of the church. Right? Since the Holy Ghost came into the church, this has been happening. When the Holy Ghost started the church, inaugurated the church, He began indwelling His people, and this has been going on in every age. And every age has had access to the Son of God, the Spirit of God, the high priest's office, amen, through the Holy Ghost. Amen? But and every age has had access to signs and wonders and the power of the Spirit. Even in the darkest of the dark ages, amen, there was still a little bit of light.
Sure.
There was still available to them the promises of God, whatever that they could grab a hold of and believe, it was available. But we've come down, down through the ages, and now we're in the last age, the Laodicean age. Amen? And this age has been ushered in by a mighty move of God. Is that right?
Amen?
It was ushered in even before, right at the beginning of the age, with the restoration of the gifts of the Spirit. Baptism by fire, gifts of the Spirit, amazing miracles, amazing testimonies, amazing revivals all over the world. Amen? Revival, fire spreading all over the place. And this led into great healing campaigns. This led into these great revivals of the 40s and 50s when we know that people by the thousands and thousands would come to these big meetings and people would be delivered and saved and healed and lives were touched. Amen? But even with all that, there was a greater work. As it continued on, it wasn't just all the outward signs, but God was interested in performing something even greater. Because with all the miracles, they still only had a partial understanding of God. Amen? They still only had a part of really who He was, part of His word. And even with a partial word, there's power in it. Amen? But people, it happened. There's testimony after testimony after testimony. People coming. People could come and be healed just in the anointing. Amen? But then how were they afterwards? And what was, people, we see, we know of churches that experience those mighty things, and eventually they cool off, and they're just like the world. Amen? It wasn't a lasting thing. We appreciate it, but God was pointing at something greater. He was desiring to restore this word, the truth, to where His children would have a complete understanding of who He is and would live the life that the Bible speaks about. Amen? He wanted communion and fellowship with man like He had in the Garden of Eden. He wanted man to be His friend, to walk with Him in that closeness, an intimate walk. Amen? Where nothing was hid from others either side. Where man had a perfect understanding of Him and loved Him. Amen. What a love. Amen. What a love affair. So the great healing and the great outpouring of His Spirit came with a message behind it to restore the truth. It brought attention to it. Amen. Because He and His Word are one. He is His Word. And so what was happening is the anointing came and the power, and he said, okay, as he's beginning to move on the scene, and now he begins to reveal himself. Here I am. Because he is his word. And he's unveiling himself to his people. Showing them who he is. Amen? He wanted man to truly know him. The mighty God being unveiled before us. Hallelujah. He wanted us to fully experience his character. Hallelujah. Not just in part, but every part. Amen? To manifest his character to this Satan's Eden, this world. Is that right? Yeah. Amen. So, to do this, brother, sister, he poured out on the last, this last age, an eagle anointing. The eagle anointing is a special anointing.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
All of the anointings are special anointings. They're special for the time that they're poured out.
Sure.
So the eagle anointing is an anointing that would be able to receive the full word. The eagle is one that's able to see afar off, that's able to fly high above. Amen? To lift up and fly above the natural things and see the spiritual things. And that's just the ability that the eagle has. It's not an earthbound creature. Right? It wasn't an ox. It wasn't a man. A man was, the anointing of man was, you know, restoring the, you know, was bringing out the printing press and translating the Bible and having, the scholarly things go around the world. And that was wonderful. And that was the anointing of that time. But the eagle anointing is different than that. It's above the earth. We don't think man's thoughts. We want his thoughts. Amen? It soars above the earth. And it sees things that man's sight can't see. And it receives those things by faith. Just because the word says it. Amen? We can't see oftentimes. We can't see in our own life. I can't see healing. I can't see deliverance. But I see it in the word. Amen? I see in the word with eagle eyes, and I believe it and receive it. And then what happens? I move and I walk in it. Amen? So, but this fully restored word is not just the letter, but it's a person. It's the person of Christ. Amen? The person of the word. And that's what we are subjecting ourselves to. The person of the word. Amen? We submit to him. We follow him unreservedly. It's Christ, the word. Christ means anointed one. Amen? The word, if you look in the scripture, right, we know that in John 1:1, he is the word, right? He is the anointed word, which is Christ, the word. That's what we're saying. Amen? It's not just the word letter, it's the word living.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So the mark of the Holy Ghost then is given that proof that we have received the living word. Amen. As I was saying a moment ago, that God has accepted our sacrifice and he has come down and dwelled in our temple.
Amen.
Right? In the Old Testament, they would give a sacrifice. You remember Elijah giving the sacrifice. The fire of God came down and consumed it. In the days of Solomon, they gave the sacrifice and the glory of God came down into the temple. The glory of God came down into the holiest of holies. Amen? So his presence is proof. So now we have two more necessary pieces in place for our time. We have the opening of the word, right? The seals that were on the book of redemption have been opened. So the book of redemption now has been opened. The book has been placed back in the hands of man. All the loose ends of the word have been tied up, fully restored. And that allows the person of Christ Amen. To be fully revealed to the believer.
Amen.
Amen. So now we are yielding our leadership to him. The one who has fully opened the word, not just to a group, but to you.
Amen.
Amen. Because when he opened the book in Revelation, when he tore the seals off it and handed the book to John, John was a representative of the bride, right? But John had to take the book and eat the book. And it's not enough for just one person in the bride to eat the book, but each individual member must receive the word for themselves. It must be a living word for you. It can't just be for the pastor. It can't just be for someone else. It has to be for each individual member. Amen? So that allows the person of Christ to be fully revealed to each individual of the body. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Amen? You don't have to. This is why, you know, this is one of those things that takes a lot of the scare out of religion. And this is where religion will try and hold people's hearts in fear. Amen? Because of this, the personal connection. Once you have a personal connection, it drives the fear away. Because that's how people pray. Religious, false religious spirits prey on people is when they don't have a surety in the personal connection.
Right?
Because they say, well, you know, you got to come through me. Right? If you want to know God, if you want to have your sins forgiven, or you want to get revelation, or you want to be, if you want to go in the rapture, if you want to be part of what God's doing, you got to stay with me. You got to be connected to me. You've got to, right? That's what they do. That's what those spirits do. But if you already have that connection, those things don't scare you. They hold that fear over people, and people don't want to miss out. Right? They don't want to, they want to be part of whatever God is doing, and all this great man, this great minister, whatever, and God's blessing him, and oh, I gotta be close to him, and not if you've got your own connection. Not if you are walking in the leadership of the revealed word yourself. You're not worried about that. You're not looking to someone else to be your Holy Ghost. Amen? Hallelujah. So that uniting takes the fear of religion out. Hallelujah. As we surrender to the leadership of the word in our daily lives, then that's when we begin to see the changes. Amen. We begin to see changes day by day, hour by hour. Amen. Week in, week out. Year in, year out, whatever it might be, over time, we're changed from glory to glory as the word of God has its way in our life. We begin to experience fruits in our lives. Amen. Let's read these scriptures here. I've got several that I want to go ahead and read. We're gonna read several scriptures tonight in 1 John. So we'll just look at a couple of those here. And then also the Gospel of John. 1 John chapter 5 verse 9 says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Amen. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Amen. Either you have life or you don't. Amen? In John chapter 14, 16, Jesus speaking, he says, I will pray the Father, And he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. Amen. Where would we be without him? Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth. So these are the words that he's using, the comforter, that he may abide, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. You know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, yet you shall see me. Because I live, you shall live also. And at that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Amen? And we're taught that that day is, this day is that day, right? He's speaking of that day when the Holy Spirit would come in the people. 1 John 2:4, he that saith, I know him. So somebody who's claiming to be a son of God, right? He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in him. Now, is he talking about somebody who just makes a mistake? Of course not, right? But what he's saying is, there's going to be an evidence, right? If he says, I know him, and he's not living him, he's a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily, is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Now people get that twisted and go backwards with it, and try to live it so that they will be in him. But that's not the right direction. Amen? You want to get him in you, and then you will live it. It's just natural. Amen. If Christ is in you, you will live the life of Christ. So where at one time maybe we might have been inclined to sway one way or another when some sort of argument was presented to us by the word. Somebody comes with a very cunningly designed argument, right, about the word. Well, you know, really, it's like this, and they try and they can put something together. Maybe they can put the quotes together a certain way, or put the scripture together a certain way, and they can make it sound very convincing. And maybe we would have been swayed by that. Now we begin to discern the Spirit. Amen? Maybe this is advice for you. Amen? Don't look at the doctrine or the argument. Look at the Spirit. Maybe that's a lesson that we need to learn. Amen? I know that I have learned that lesson. And we've all had people come to us with, you know, oh, the word says this, and this is what, you know, this is what this doctrine is, and this is what, the messenger says about this, and you should be doing this, and you should, right? We've all had that. Well, you don't need to go and, I mean, it's good to take that back to the scripture. 100%. Take it back to the scripture. Amen? But in doing that, don't just do that with your mind. You take it to the scripture and take it to the spirit realm. Amen. Discern the spirit that's behind that. Amen? Because there are spirits in action behind the scenes. And as we walk and we go forward and we go a little more in our walk and we become mature, we begin to be more keenly aware that it's spirits at work. Amen? And a lot of times we can identify, oh, I see where that doctrine's coming from. I see where that is originating. There's a spirit behind it. And those spirits don't die. Those spirits have been around. They use different tricks. Amen? They come in different ways. We know that a spirit that was spoken about that we have dealt with in our own circles is a deity spirit. Amen? And so we recognize that. Where someone would try and make a man God. right? Not the man Christ Jesus, but someone else, where they would try to exalt themselves and put themselves up. Well, you can discern that spirit. And sometimes it's subtle. And sometimes you can't even find the holes in the argument, maybe, but you can discern the spirit. And say, oh, I see where that's coming from. I see what the originator of that is. And then the Holy Spirit will help you by the word to see where it's wrong. So it's a combination of both. Amen? We must have the living word, its discernment of spirit, with the true word of God. Amen. Let's just read a couple more here. Amen. This is from A Time of Decision. He says, I wonder why Rebecca came before any of the other girls. Did you know that Rebecca and Isaac was blood relation? They were cousins. And the bride of Jesus Christ is blood relation to him, a blood-bought bride. No wonder she was led by the Spirit. There was a connection coming together. There was a union coming together. And that's the reason I think today that the born-again, the Holy Ghost-filled people is connected with God, and they are led by the Spirit of God. That's why they act so peculiar to the people. They've made their decisions. They're going out. They're going to go on out, regardless if the rest of them don't go out. They're going anyhow. And I like that. Amen. We're going to be different. Amen. As we've spoken before about being an oddball, if you're led of the Spirit, you're going to be different than people that are not. It's just the way it is. Amen. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He is the principal theme of the Bible. Amen. We've read this many times. He was in the prophets. He was in the Psalms. He was in the history of the Bible. The Bible is a prophetic book. It's a historical book. It's a book of love. It's a book of songs. It's a book of life. And in there you'll find Christ. Amen. He was in the prophets. He was in the Psalms. He was in the history. He was also in the Bible, in the things that is to come. And he was before until after. What does that make him then? The same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you inject something in there that doesn't make him the same yesterday, today, and forever, ever, Brother Lee, where do you go? You got an awful picture. For he was the history, see, and he is the prophet, and he is the Psalms, and he is everything. And if you can't make him everything the same, where does your picture look like? Amen? We got to have the right picture. He says, he is the thing. He was the prophets. He was in them. He was in the Psalms. He was in the history. He is the things to come. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. If you're writing it down, he should be then. And he should be the principle, if that's what he is. And we believe it, don't we? Then if that he is that, then he should be the principal theme of our talking, of our thinking, of our singing, of our walks. Amen. He should be the principal theme of our life. If he's the principal theme of the Bible, and the Bible is in us, then he should be the principal theme of everything that we do, say, or think. Should be Christ. Is that right? Should be. Should be Christ. If everything was created for him and by him, for his pleasure, for his glory, then he should be the central theme of everything in our world too. Isn't that right? Amen. And then 1 John 4:1-6 here. As we were speaking about trying the spirits, he says, beloved, believe not every spirit. Amen. This is good advice. Fatherly advice from Brother John. Amen. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And hereby you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Who are the them? The spirits of Antichrist. Amen. Every spirit that is not of the Spirit of God, that comes against the Word of God, you have overcome them. That's what he says. You are of God and you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you. That's how you've overcome them. You overcome an antichrist spirit. You overcome an anti-word spirit. Because of the one that's in you. Because the one who's leading you. You lean on him and let him lead you. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world. And guess what? The world heareth them. The people of the world will receive that testimony gladly. They'll receive from those spirits. And they'll say, yeah, that's right. And you'll see people just line up to it. But he says, but we are of God. And he that knoweth God heareth us. And he that is not of God heareth not us. It's pretty simple, right? Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So there is spirit of truth and there's a spirit of error. And we are told to try the spirits and see whether they be of God. Amen? That's part of our experience. That's part of our job. Amen? And in Revelation of Jesus Christ, this is the Church Age book, chapter 1. He says, now remember this. Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts, but the book of Revelation shows how the Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, making it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. It exposes Satan. He's speaking about Revelation now. It exposes Satan, reveals his works, the attempted destruction of God's people, and the discrediting of God's word, right down to the time he is cast in the lake of fire. Amen. That's what the book of Revelation does. That's why Satan attacks the book of Genesis, the book of Revelation. Shows him the beginning, and it shows him at the end. Amen? It pulls the covers off Satan. He says he fights it. He cannot stand it. He knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is and what she stands for, that and that she can do the greater works, she will be an invincible army. Oh, how many times have we read this quote? One of these days, this quote is going to sink and it's going to manifest completely. It is manifesting. Amen? One at a time. Oh, praise the Lord. If they get the true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church and by God's spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, that's what John was just speaking about. Try the spirits. Withstand the Antichrist spirit, right? He says, by God's spirit, discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit. That's how we do it. You can't do it without God's spirit. Amen? He says, but if they do that, Satan will be powerless before her. He will be as definitely thwarted today as when Christ withstood his every effort to gain power over him in the desert. You remember what happened then? He tried to gain power over him in the desert. He tried to get him to worship him. He tried to twist the word. He tried to take the word and make it mean something else. And the words that he spoke were truth. He quoted the Bible to him. Amen? But he was a false spirit, the Satan himself, quoting the scripture. And it takes the Spirit of God to discern that. That is scripture. That is truth. But it's misapplied. It's misplaced. It's misdirected. Amen? There's a spirit behind it that's using it for his own gain or trying to. That's the revelation. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, think about it. It's such a powerful little anecdote, it's almost a parable, really, a description, where Brother Branham is talking about the letters that he and his wife exchange, amen. And she's saying the words, and they're common words. Oh, I laid the kids down to sleep, and the daily things that happen. He says, but I know her, and I read between the lines because I know what she's really trying to tell me, amen. Well, how can he do that? If I read the same letter, I would get something totally different out of it. Or at least, I wouldn't be totally different, but it would just be a very surface understanding of it. Right? It would just be a very, we could say maybe a carnal level, just a very, like I said, just very surface I said, okay, your wife wrote you and she's talking about the things that are happening and oh, that's nice. And he said, no, you don't understand. Amen? She's telling me she loves me. Amen? They have a shared experience. He knows. He's been there with her at that time when she's putting the kids down to bed. And it's a time of joy for them, perhaps. And a time where their marriage, where they just drew closer together as a couple. And, you know, he probably remembers the time just, you know, putting his arm around her and being so happy to have a godly family and all those emotions and all the things, the memories, then the experience that came with that. Those simple little words. And I would read it and go, yeah, okay. She's telling you what she did, right? That's the difference between a spirit-filled believer reading the Bible and a non-spirit-filled person reading the same word. The spirit-filled believer reading that says, oh, I know him. I've met him. The one that's speaking through those words. He's the one. He's the one that spoke to me. He's the one that met me. He's the one that he's my everything to me. Amen. He's the one that leads me and guides me and comforts me. And when he says that, I know he's speaking to me. It's like the kids say today, it hits different. Right? Something that just hits you in a different place. Because there's a spirit there. There's a life there. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. So we've been instructed to try the spirits. Is it the Spirit of God that's speaking? Or is it the spirit of Antichrist, an Antichrist spirit that's trying to look so close? Because remember, the Bible said that it would be close. It's not way out there somewhere, brother, sister. The Bible says it would be so close that it would deceive the elected if it was possible. That's how close it would be. But it's not possible to deceive the elect. Because she has the spirit of truth. Amen. That's the difference. Not like she's smarter, right? She can't go. It's not like we're better scholars than somebody. It's not like we're better historians. You know, I'm going to go dig into the Greek and the Hebrew and I'm better at the language and I can, you know, pull it out. No. He's the one that makes the difference. The spirit of truth. Amen. So God desires to be truly known by his children. And not historical. Like he was saying, not yesterday. Or he is the same yesterday, but we don't know him as a historical God. We know him as the I am. Amen. We know him right now. He's right here right now. He's in this service with you right now. He's present in your life right now. You've got problems and you've got things going on in your life right now, and he's in the midst of your life right now. Amen? He's the I am. The spirit of error would try and make you gaze afar off. Right? It'll say, oh, you know, maybe someday you can experience him. Maybe someday you can get the Holy Ghost or you missed it. Right? Oh, remember back then and oh, they had this and it was. No. The I am is the present God. Amen. He wants to be known in this hour. This is the uniting time. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Amen. The Holy Spirit by his grace is cutting away. We've been hearing, Brother Doug's been doing such an important topic about the cutting away of unbelief to be able to go over into the promised land. The rolling away, amen, of those old things. Those old things of Egypt had to be cut off. Amen? Because they can't take it over. And it's His grace that's cutting away those things that can't cross Jordan. That's grace. Amen? He's cutting them away. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it's grace. But it is His grace. Amen? There's thinking that we can't carry over. There's thinking that we have that is not promised land thinking. Amen? There's desires in our life that we have to leave behind because they're not promised land desires. Amen? Goals for our life. Amen? Maybe things that you want to do with your life, that's not God's plan for you. Well, you know what? You got to leave that behind to be able to cross over. Amen? To be able to go into that land, you got to leave those things. Hallelujah. Our self-image must be consistent with God's word. You know, so many times, it's interesting. My wife and I were kind of talking about this the other day. It's so interesting. So many of the songs now that have been coming out in Christian music, so many of them are about, you know, who I am and what, the importance of recognizing that I'm a child of God. And, you know, there's a lot of that, those songs, whereas if you look back in past ages, it wasn't that way. All right, well, what is that? Well, there is an anointing, amen, that is being poured out in this age. And our self-image can't come from our own ideas. It has to come from the Word of God. And He desires that He would be able to reveal Himself to you in such a way that you can worship Him completely in spirit and in truth. Amen? Not partial truth, but whole truth. Amen. To manifest that scripture that we read where He says, I in the Father and you in me and I in you. Amen. That would be manifested in our lives. Amen. How many want that? Amen. Amen. We want that, don't we? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're kicking in high gear here. We got a lot of things we need to read. Okay. Praise the Lord. Let's just read this. The voice of God in these last days. He says, then do you notice after Adam listened to another voice besides God's voice, his own wife? And the church is listening to the voice of her organization, injecting into them creeds instead of the word, letting them live any way they want to. As long as they go to church and a member of the certain church, that's all that matters. The closest connection that the believer has on earth to them is the church. But the believer, the real believer, the closest connection is the Holy Spirit, is God's word. So you see, if somebody's relying on the church, now this happens everywhere. Amen. This is in our ranks just as much as anywhere else. Amen. Nobody is immune to this. That someone would have their connection to earth. He says that they would have a connection on earth to them is their church. They would be connected to their church. In other words, that they would be relying on that. They'd be relying on somebody else's experience is what that comes down to. He says, but the real believer, the closest connection is the Holy Spirit. It is God's word. Amen? That's above the closest earthly connections that you have with people. Amen? That should be our closest connection is with Him. This is from a prisoner. He says, God is looking for prisoners. He's always done it. You might search it through the scripture. A man has to be a prisoner to Christ. We know that. Paul spoke about that, right? He says, therefore, you cannot be connected with anything but Christ. Even your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, anybody. You're only connected with Christ and Him only. He says, then God can use you. Until then, you can't. Going out, sometimes speaking rough to people, see, I'm trying to get you to cut loose. You've got to have a starting place. Like, sometime calls out the women bobbing their hair and wearing these clothes and hold and maintain their Christian profession, and they say that's a little thing. Well, you've got to start somewhere, so begin right there in your ABC, see? Cut loose the worldly looks and become a prisoner to Christ. And then just keep on. So he's saying that's just something obvious that he can point to get them started, right? Cut loose everything till finally the last line is cut. Well, maybe you don't need to start there. Maybe you need to start somewhere else, right? But you've got to start cutting loose until you've cut loose everything. He says, till finally the last line is cut loose. He says, then you're a prisoner. You become in his grip, and he's got you in his grip. Amen. And, you know, in this context, brother, sister, prisoner, it's not a bad thing. Amen. It means that we're completely held in his hand. He's got us. He's got you. Amen. And nothing else has got a hold of you. No other line is pulling on you. You've cut loose every line, but he's holding you completely, entirely in his grip. That's where we want to be, isn't it? Amen. Hallelujah. So as we walk in that, we experience the fruits of an intimate walk. We begin to recognize when others don't have it. Amen. They don't share that same experience. Because that closeness with Christ brings a stability. It brings a clarity. It brings a discernment. I was thinking about this tonight as just getting ready, and the thought came to me of my dear mother-in-law. Amen. Sister Claire. She had a saying that many of you probably remember. And she would say, if I'm living close to him here on earth, then when he goes, he'll take me with him. Amen. That's what she would say. So, well, as long as I'm living close to him here, I know that when he goes, he'll take me with him. And I remember the context is important. Amen. She wouldn't just, I mean, I don't know, maybe she just said that, if you know, just because, but I remember her saying that in context of confusing teaching. Amen. Things that are vying, and things, this happens all the time, things that are trying to catch a hold of you. Things that are being brought. Maybe they're doctrines that are, like I said, confusing, or false doctrines, or spirits that are trying to confuse, spirits that are trying to come in and pull you away from the main thing. Right? And oftentimes, brother, sister, in this message, the way that manifests is by getting on what we call bunny trail doctrines. You know what a bunny trail is? Bunny trail doctrine. The bunny trail, you're on the main trail, and all of a sudden, there's this little bunny trail that goes off in some random direction. Right? And it's not going the way that you want to go. But you follow the bunny trail. Right? And finally, pretty soon, if you follow that bunny trail long enough, you find yourself out in the middle of nowhere, lost, and you're off the main trail. You're not headed the right direction. Right? And it looks tempting. And these doctrines come, and they look tantalizing, and there's enticing spirits that come with them. And they try, oh man, did you know that the prophet said this, and we can put all this, you know. And they're trying to pull you off on a bunny trail. And that was Sister Claire's answer to it. I know that if I live close to him, he'll take me with him when he goes. So that's the antidote to, well, you have to believe this doctrine if you want to go. If you want to go on the rapture, you got to believe this. And her response was, well, I know that if I'm living close to him, he'll take me when he goes. You see how powerful that is? Yes. Amen? That is the answer. Amen. Well, you know, somebody comes and tries to convince you about Christ. Well, this is the truth, and you have to follow this, and you have to be part of this move, and you have to believe that, and Your answer should be, well, I'll let him tell me that. Right? Because I know him. Let me ask him. If he tells me, then sure. Okay. I'm not going to do it because you said. I'm not listening to you. I'm listening to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, brother, sister, then that becomes peace. That becomes steadfastness. Amen? That becomes rest. That's when we began to rightly divide the spirits. Rightly divide, take the word and apply it. Is that spirit trying that spirit? Amen? Our walk becomes less and less carnal. Our walk becomes more keenly aware of the spiritual battle that's going on around us. Knowing that it's an enticing spirit trying to pull on us. Amen. Okay, let's just read these last ones here. This is Revelation Book of Symbols. He says, like the great water lily, he says these little tiny seed born way down in the bottom of a miry, mucky, dirty, frog, scummy pond. And it winds its way up through the darkness, through all the mud and all the scum, and becomes the finest thing that you ever looked into the face of, with a radiance like sunshine. That's a beautiful picture, isn't it? A lily that would be born in the bottom of a pond, and amen, it would come up, be beautiful. He says, so is the church of the living God that's been born down in the mud of fanaticism and chaos, but she's wound her way up through the grime until she's on the top of the thing, just waiting for her wings for the flight. Hallelujah. Many shall run to and fro, and the people that know their God shall do exploits in that day. God's revelations to a church. Set still, little flock. See? That's what it is. It's set still. Listen to him. Amen? Positionally, stay where you are, he says. As Sister Gertie and Sister Angie used to sing here, keep holding on. Don't worry. God is waiting and trying and pressing to get the mystery of God revealed to his church. And that's what's holding back the coming of Christ now in the great millennium, is this great supernatural power that really lays dormant in the church. Amen. And then the world is falling apart. He says, now we find that the religious world in that day was falling apart. They had always done it before. Why? It's because that the coming prophets and the coming Messiah did not meet their specification, their theological term for it. And that's the way it would be today. So he's just saying how they rejected the prophets and then they eventually rejected Jesus, right? Because it didn't meet with their theological thinking. He says, and that's the way it would be today. This is why I believe that we're stunted in this day, because in the move of God, even in the churches, it doesn't exactly come to the terms with what they figured out it should be. They figure out that there should be a time that certain things will happen, and then the world kernel of it comes down, and then they reject it because it didn't come the way they thought, right? He says, what's the use of putting up an electric wire if you refuse the dynamo? See, they can't get no current in it. It's just a dead wire. And that's what's the matter with the church today. We got all the wires up and press the button and there's no life. What we need to do is get connected. That's all. Right now, get connected with Christ. Our lives of our emotion, the lives of our mind, connected in him. That's what we're talking about tonight. Amen. He says, well, you say, well, I believe this. He says, you ain't got no thought coming. That's right. I think this, and you haven't got a thought. I haven't either. Remember, our subject tonight is the headship of the Word. Headship of Christ the Word. That means you submit your headship to him. That's what he's talking about, right? You haven't got a thought. And he says, I haven't either. The Bible said, let the mind that was in Christ be in you. And he was always about the Father's business. So that's the only thought you ought to have. It's what God said about it. Not what somebody else said about it, but what God said. That's all there is. Amen. Let every man's word be a lie and mine be the truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then 1 John chapter 5, we're dangerously close. We're coming to the end here. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. That's such a relief. Amen. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. So you see, it's all of those things combined, right? Jesus Christ, water, blood, he is the Word, and the Spirit is truth. Amen. And the Word, world is falling apart again. Just got a couple more here. He says, now what about the church? What kind of a Messiah is the church looking for today? The church has cried the loudest. So what we're hollering about is Messiah. What are we hollering? Revival in our time. Back to this, that, or the other thing. What are they looking for? What more do you want? What does the church want? Anyhow, we've already got it. God gave it to us. It's his promise for this hour. We look in the Bible. We see it everywhere through the Bible. Anointed ones come on and made that word live again. Right in the hour for that hour. And we've got the Messiah. This is him, the Word. Amen. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word remains God. And Hebrews 13:8, of course, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know what is supposed to take place in this day. We're wanting a Messiah, and God gave us the Messiah, his promised word for this day. It's just waiting for somebody with faith to anoint it and make it live again. Yes, sir, it's a real Messiah. It's the Word of God, which Jesus said, both heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. But the church sits spiritually dead, gone. The hour has passed them. They're in a slump, and they hardly know what to do. One running this way and one that way. And here is every promise that God made in the Bible, every one of them, laying there just as good as they ever was. It's the hour. What makes the church like this? We're in the age of Laodicea. So she has to come this way, for this is the hour to do it. So even though it's there, it's all here in the Word. The natural church, amen? The carnal church just lays spiritually dead and passes right over it. Won't receive it. Invisible union of the bride of Christ. He says, if I was supposed to die in the morning, a man took my place. I cannot die for that sin. Somebody took my place. And Jesus, the Word, took my place. He become me, that a sinner, I might become him, the Word. Amen. Let me hold true to it. Not the church, the Word. Oh, that spiritual union of Christ and his church now, when the flesh is becoming Word, and the Word is becoming flesh, manifested, vindicated. Just what the Bible said would happen in this day. It's happening day by day. Why? It's accumulating so fast out there in those deserts and things taking place, I couldn't even keep up with it. We're near the coming of Jesus to be united with his church, where the Word becomes the Word. Call of the Holy Spirit searching the hearts. And so he's just speaking about the church being dressed, the bride being dressed in the Word of God. Amen? Clothed in the Word of God. Amen? United with the Word of God. He says, you're standing completely. You never sinned at the first place. God don't even know. It's in the sea of forgetfulness. You never did it. You were accused of it by the accuser. But really, from the beginning, you were predestinated to be a son or daughter of God. You're standing there washed. And your old book of divorcement is put away. It's dead. Absolutely out of existence, even in the mind of God. Whew, think about that. Hallelujah. That's the power of this blood. Amen. Amen. And then one more here. What is the Holy Ghost given for? He says, now, the Spirit of God has worked under justification under Luther, sanctification under Wesley, the baptism of the Holy Ghost under Pentecost, and here it is in the last day performing and doing the very same thing that it did when it was in Christ. What is it? The church and Christ has become one. And as soon as they connect together, that last link shall go through the sky shouting. Up will come Wesley and Luther and all the rest of them back in those days there. He that's first will come, will be last, and he that's last will be first, and there'll come the resurrection. We're at the end time. Listen, that's what the Holy Ghost does. The Holy Ghost, by justification, just lit a shadow of it. The Holy Ghost by sanctification, a little deeper shadow of it. The Holy Ghost by the baptism of it, a deeper shadow. Now, the Holy Ghost by the restoration of its very person being here, forming signs and wonders like you did at the beginning. Whew, glory. You're going to call me a holy roller anyhow. You might as well just get started now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this, brother, sister, is an overcoming time. Amen? It is an overcoming time. It's a time of overcomers. It's written in the scripture of you that you're an overcomer. Amen? So there must be challenges for you to overcome. Is that right? This is part of the greater work. This is bringing the sphere of influence under subjection to the Spirit of God. Amen. The most important relationship that we have is our relationship with Him. It's our connection, is the way He put it. Amen. I think that's a great way to put it. It is the connection that we have. If we have that connection with Him, if we don't have that connection with Him, nothing else is right. Amen. I don't care how good things are going. It's going to fail. But if that connection is right, then everything else will fall into place. Eventually. Maybe not right away, but it will fall into place. But if we don't have that connection right, you're just beating your head against a wall. Amen. To those who can receive Him, those who have proved that they have the receiver in them, to them He gave the power, the Bible says. To them He gave the authority, amen, to become or manifest the sons of God. Is that right? Amen. Let's stand this morning, or this evening. I was thinking about that scripture. To them He gave the power to become the sons of God. And I was thinking about authority. And we've talked about and we've heard about authority and power. Right? We don't have power within ourselves, but we have authority. And you know, I was thinking about our president. Our current president. Not the one that we're going to get in however many days. Right? 10, 12 days, whatever it is. Our current president, right? Our current president, you know, I'm not trying to throw shade on him or anything, but you have to admit he's pretty weak, right? Really, any man is. But he's an elderly gentleman, right? And there's plenty of videos, and you can find him falling down and all sorts of very sad things. Right, he's not very strong. So if he were to come up against, I don't know, the leader of Russia, Putin, that guy, he's pretty strong, right? We'd be in trouble if it was mano y mano, right? No, we wouldn't stand a chance because our president has no strength physically, right? But he has authority. Amen? He has the might of the United States military behind him. He can call down airstrikes. Amen. People would live in fear if you cross him. Not because he's some strapping strong guy. Because of the authority of his position. Of the office that he holds. Amen. And once he steps out of that, he won't have that authority anymore. Someone can step in and out of that office of authority. Amen. Well, brother, sister, we're no match for the devil tonight. I know you don't like to hear that. We can't do it. Amen. We got devils coming against us left and right. You're no match for them. So, oh, but I want to stand. I want to fight against that. No, sorry. You can't. You have nothing in yourself. Amen? But you have authority tonight. You have authority of your position. Amen. And because you're under the headship, that's where your authority comes from. If you step outside of the headship of the word, in other words, it's like a wife and a husband, right? If she steps out from under the headship of her husband, she's no longer under the protection of her husband, right? Well, if a believer or a person steps outside of the headship of the word, they're disobeying the word. They're living in disobedience to God. They're not coming under that headship. They don't have the authority to go with it. Then the devil's got every right, amen, to come after you with everything he's got. Well, he'll still try and come against you with everything he's got, amen. But if you're under the headship, the authority of the word, then you have authority over every demon in hell. That's where your authority comes from. Your submission to the word. Amen. Jesus, when he was walking here on earth, remember the centurion man came to him and he told him, you know, his servant was sick, and Jesus said, I'll go to your house and heal him. And he said, no, I'm not worthy that you come to my house, but just speak the word. Right? He says, because I understand authority and I know that you have that authority, right? I know that you have the authority to speak and whatever you say will happen. Is that right? So Jesus just had to use the authority that God had given him to speak and the healing was manifested, right? We know that's Bible, right? Well, he's not here physically now to be able to speak. If he was, you would go to him just like that man did, right? Lord, I have a need. And you would go to him and you would ask him to speak on behalf of your need, right? But he's not here in that way. He's here, but not physically as Jesus of Nazareth, right? But he has delegated that authority to his children, right? We know that with a nation, we delegate our authority in a nation for others to speak on our behalf. So we send an ambassador to another nation and they speak with whatever they say, they speak on behalf of our nation, right? We say, okay, they've entered into this agreement with you. They're enabled to speak on their behalf. Well, brother, sister, have you ever thought about what that means to say, to pray or to speak in the name of Jesus Christ? Amen. You're not doing it. You're not just tacking it on at the end, because you know it's not like a magic word, right? Oh, if I say whatever I say and then say in the name of Jesus at the end, it's like, you know, that's what makes it happen. No, saying that is saying it from a position. Amen. You're praying from a position under the headship of Christ. Amen. Oh, that's powerful. Amen. And it's because you're speaking it because it's been revealed to you that this is his will. And when you speak it, and it's revealed to you that it's his will, you're speaking it in his name. That is the same as him speaking it, right? Because that you're using his authority. That's what you're saying. I'm speaking under his authority. It's been revealed to me through his word that this is true for my life. And I'm saying this in the name of Jesus Christ. We shouldn't say that lightly. We should say that soberly, with revelation, and we should be prayed up, right? It shouldn't be kind of a willy-nilly thing. Well, this is what I want, so I'm praying this in the name of Jesus. Well, if you're saying in the name of Jesus, you're speaking. You're saying I'm doing this in his name. And that means we have to quit. Amen. So that's powerful, isn't it? That's what it means to be under the headship of Christ. But when you do, when you speak from that place of authority, no demon in hell can stand against it. Amen? Hallelujah. It's powerful, isn't it? Amen. His authority of his position is what gives him power. Your authority of your position under the headship of Christ the Word. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for your spirit, Lord. Lord, most of all, we thank you for your presence, Lord, in our lives. Lord, where you would come and be so personal, so real to us, Lord. Oh, God, that we could know you. Lord, in a direct, personal, one-on-one way. That you want to know us that way, or you want us to know you that way, Lord. That you want us to have such a personal connection to you. That you want to be personal with each and every member of your church, of your body, Lord. Lord, I know when we know you that way, nobody can take that away from us. No demon can take that away from us. Nothing. What can separate us, as your word says? If Christ be for us, who can be against us? Can death? Can persecution? Can trials? All manner of evil? Whatever. Can anything separate us from the love of God that is in Christ? The answer is nothing can separate us. Oh, how we love you, Lord. We thank you. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Father, I pray tonight, Lord, just once again, Father, many are going through lots of trials, tribulations, sicknesses, testings, Father. And I pray that you just be with each one, Lord. I pray, Lord, that they would lean on you. They would look to you, Lord. The fountain of every good and perfect gift, the giver of life, Lord. That they would lean on you for everything, Father. That they would find help in time of need. Lord, I pray that you just bless this word tonight as it's gone forth, Lord. Just trying to, Lord, some way, somehow, Lord, we can just shake, Lord God. Someone, Lord God. They can just get a hold of you, Lord. Someone that they can wake up and see. That your spirit would come, Lord, and anoint that word, Lord. Lord, when you make it live, it's a whole new world. It's a whole new world. Thank you, Father. Lord, we're looking for your soon coming. Believe that it's just around the corner. We want to be ready, Lord. I pray that you just bless each one tonight that's come, Father. Bless us as we come and as we go, Lord. Lord, that we would be able to live your word out, Father. We would be a living testimony. Thank you, Father. Just pray these things in the name of our Savior, in the name of our Lord, in the name of our precious sacrifice, our Lamb, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. The one who's the center of every part of our lives. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, time is filled with swift transition. Not of earth's unmoved can stand. So build your hopes on things eternal and hold to God's unchanging hand. Just hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal.